It's your chance to talk about the future of public broadcasting in Maine. There's an old axiom in public radio that if a program director wants to see his name in the news, all he or she needs to do is make a change or two to the radio lineup. Well, after the recent changes to the MPBN radio schedule, the director of content and the CEO and president of MPBN have seen plenty of press coverage and listener comments about adjustments to the radio lineup. I'm Jennifer Rooks, in for Keith Shortall, and in the studio with me today are Mark Vogelzang, president and CEO of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, and Charles Beck, director of content for MPBN. Today's show is their chance to explain why they made the changes they did and how it fits into the future of MPBN. And it's your chance to ask them questions about the new lineup and the direction of public broadcasting in the state. Share your comments by emailing talk@mpbn.net, tweet at MaineCalling, post to our Facebook page, or give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. What do you think of the recent changes to the MPBN radio lineup? This is Maine Calling.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN radio listener contributions and by WBRC Architects Engineers, committed to providing outstanding solutions and value with offices in Bangor, Portland, and Sarasota, Florida, and online at WBRCAE.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome to all of you. This is Jennifer Rooks. We will be getting to your phone calls, emails, Facebook page posts in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome Mark Vogelzang and Charles Beck into the studio and start by just asking the general question. Charles Beck, Mark Vogelzang, why did we make these changes?
Well, Jennifer, it's a very interesting and it's a great topic. We're glad to be here this afternoon. Charles and I have been thinking about and know about radio programming and generally public broadcasting for a number of years. But the challenge has been here at MPBN is to continually look at how are we providing the best listener value, the best value, the best service that our broad listeners want. And just to summarize, we've made some changes that occurred right around the start of December. And those included additions of more news and information on Friday afternoons and the ending of the off-air broadcast of Down Memory Lane, and then also on Saturday and Sunday morning, adding more NPR news and 4 hours of classical music going away on Saturday morning before weekend edition. So those are the big changes. Charles?
Yeah, I would just like to reiterate, I mean, it's really simple. What we're always trying to do here is create value for our listeners. Now, we have a collective, diverse membership, but folks who have been listening to us for years and years and years know that the program schedule we have today is not the same that we had 10 years ago or 20 years ago or that sort of thing. And we really haven't had any adjustments of any significance in the past several years.
Part of what helped form your decisions was a survey that was done, correct?
That's true.
One of the this survey took over a year ago, but it was both a listener survey and also a member survey, so sort of two separate tools that you might want to explain, Charles.
Sure. We first put it out to our members. We had over 1,500 responses from members, and then we went on air and asked people to go to the website, and it was a SurveyMonkey tool, and create the survey there or fill out the survey there. We had another 1,500 responses, too. So a total of about 3,000 responses last fall helped us really gauge the programs of value, the formats of value, et cetera, here on MPBN Radio.
I have a stack of emails before me, and without reading every single one, I will say that a handful of them have a similar theme. And those are people who are upset that Down Memory Lane is no longer on the radio.
Right.
It is, of course, now streamed online. Some of these people say, I'm in the car. I'm not listening online at that time, things like that. But I thought maybe right at the beginning of this program, we can address the decision to shift from Down Memory Lane to the Diane Rehm Show on Friday afternoons.
Right. And The World. There's another program on at 3 o'clock as well. So there's plenty of news and information. And what I've heard as well in making phone calls and talking to people and hearing those responses and corresponding with people is that people have said, you know, our friends have said, I love Friday afternoons. Friday afternoons are different. They're special. But interestingly, Jennifer, one of the things that was identified in this survey that we did was that nostalgia programs like Memory Lane was are an anomaly, and they're the least favorite programming among our program offerings that we have on MPBN. So that was one of the issues. And in our discussions to try to say, how do we gradually move to something that listeners were asking for more of, which was Friday Afternoons with Diane Rehm and also More of the World and more news and information, more news programming, that was how we came to that decision. And it's tough because anytime you lose something that you've been listening to for 30 years, it feels like you've lost an old friend.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put something new in the program without taking something away. And every new program becomes somebody's favorite at some point. Every program in the schedule was new at some time right now. And so that's hard for many people to go through that. But as Mark said, it really was a case of making a tough decision for some loyal followers. We had the survey that certainly said that this type of programming wasn't of high value across a large spectrum of our audience. And I know that's hard for some folks who are fans of that program to hear. We certainly, you know, when we make a decision, we don't just look at one survey or just don't listen to some phone calls. We have many ways of ascertaining what works elsewhere around the country. What are we hearing? Our community advisory board also plays a role. And, you know, we really did focus on Friday afternoons and down memory lane, the value of that program versus providing more consistency. And also the Diane Rehm show in particular. When we added the program to our schedule, folks immediately said, this is great, but where's the Friday program? This is the best show of the week where she goes through the week's events. And that is now in our schedule.
All right. Of course, this program, Maine Calling, is about you and not me asking the question. So we will be going to listener calls. The phone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. If you are somebody who likes to tweet, the Twitter handle is @MaineCalling. Email talk@mpbn.net, or you can post to our Facebook page. Our first call this afternoon will be Scott in Penobscot. Scott, go ahead. You are on Maine Calling.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Hi.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of public radio, and I'm a supporter for many years. I really don't think it should be a popularity contest, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than enough of that out there. I mean, if it was, we'd have professional wrestling and American Idol, and we certainly don't need any more of that.
How about country music?
But I think it should be a refuge of culture. I mean, we really need that. For example, I'm not a fan of opera or classical music, but I value that it's on.
Right.
And I think there needs to be a place for jazz and new age music and stuff that you can't hear anywhere else. And that, to me, that is really the value, among many other things, of MPBN.
You're absolutely right. There does need to be. We have a responsibility to be to curate and to take care of things that might normally not be available elsewhere. And that is exactly the question of how do you balance that with all the other demands that listeners have. And public radio already exists in this era where there's tons of choices on the commercial radio station band. And we're trying to narrowly, how do we go hour by hour and serve all of the different demands of our listeners? So it's a fair question, Scott.
Yeah, and I would just add, Mark, you've worked in public radio for a gazillion years. You know what a balancing act it is to hear from folks who want more classical music, want more jazz, want more news and information, want more new age music. And it really is, it's really a tough one.
Scott, were you particularly like Friday afternoons?
Actually, I would rather hear Diane Rehm than Toby's show. But,
okay.
You know, I mean, there needs to be a place for other things that maybe not the most popular thing in the world, but are of value.
All right.
In and of themselves, because I just see, I mean, if you look on, you know, this is a little bit out of your guys' thing, but if you look at, like, the History Channel on cable.
Exactly.
It started out where this was, you know, serious history, documentaries and stuff. Now it's turned into nothing but reality shows. Because that's what, you know, unfortunately, majority of the people want. It doesn't mean it's quality. And I just hope you.
No, we're gonna keep the quality up. That's fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott. We have another caller. This is Larry in Bangor. Larry, go ahead. You are on Maine Calling.
Yeah, I heard a noise. Does that mean I'm still on?
You are on the air.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to laud the changes. I'd like to one more time ask for. To the best of our knowledge, it's by far and away the most adult show I know of on any medium whatsoever.
With Jim Fleming, he's the host of that.
Yes, and it's just an extraordinarily good show, and I've tried to get it on a million times. I listen to it on podcast, but I think my fellow Mainers have a right to hear something that's that adult as well.
So you said, did you say laud the changes? You're supportive of the changes.
I'm very supportive of them.
Okay.
On Fridays is when the politicians try to do the most amount of their damage on the thought that nobody's going to hear about it because the weekend's coming. And so that's when they do all the nasty things that they do to us. And we now have a chance to hear it for both on the world and all things considered. And I have a question, perchance it's out of place, but we have dead air on the television from 12 to 6. Why could we not put the Create programs on at that time so at least maniacs could tape those shows and listen to them later?
So that's the TV side you're talking about, and Charles is going to answer that because he knows this stuff, but so it's not a specifically radio question, but you're talking about the PBS, the MPBN service called Create.
Right.
Go ahead, Charles.
I think they work on a 6-hour rotating schedule.
That's an interesting idea. As you may well know, we just, at the beginning of this month, went to 24 hours broadcast on our television service over the air with our regular PBS and MPBN programming. But utilizing that for something else is something we might consider down the road.
So you're a fan of Create, is that right? Is that right, Larry?
I'm not a fan of Create. I mean, it has the shows that they have on Saturday afternoon are basically repeated on Create. And, you know, if you miss something or you want to watch a, you know, 5-year-ago test kitchen or something of that nature, it's there. And it, I think, creates a fantastic program.
Good. Glad to hear it.
And, Larry, I wanted to circle back to you on the best of our knowledge. We obviously have spoken in the past, and we certainly hear you. And again, it's just the question of if we add this program and you're not alone in requesting it, then where does it go? And we have to look at all that, and it takes some time to do that.
It's a great show produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. I've listened to it over the years. I'm a fan, too. So good suggestion.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry, for your call. Moving on now, we have a number of calls, and if you want to join them, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Now we are going to go to David in Camden. David, go ahead. You are on Maine Calling.
Well, hi, guys.
Hi.
I just was curious. I mean, I've been a huge fan and supporter of NPR in this state and other states I've lived in, and also of Diane Rehm. But to make the decision to replace Down Memory Lane with her News Roundup show, not at a time slot where she's live. I've been challenging the programming there to get Diane Rehm on at a time where Maine citizens can participate. I mean, it is a call-in show after all. And when you hear people from your own state representing their opinions on her show, you feel proud. I've called in several times when I've lived in different states where she is broadcast when she's sort of meant to be broadcast. So it seemed like a kind of controversial decision to take something kind of beloved to a lot of, you know, Mainers, whether it be, you know, I understand you can't please everyone at the same time, but I just am curious why you can't manage to get, I mean, one of the premises of Diane Rehm is truly it participates with people on kind of a live basis, and we always get a post-recorded program.
Okay, David, I think you've made your point well, and Charles Beck is chomping
sure.
at the bit to answer that.
Sure. Diane Rehm is a live program that is fed in the system from 10 to noon each weekday, 10 hours a week. We currently carry now 5, having only carried 4 before. Obviously, if we were to carry it at 10 o'clock in the morning, we would displace our classical music programming, which is not an easy thing to do. And I'm sure there's someone out there who's going to call in who likes classical music. We'll hear from them probably in a few minutes. You may remember, too, I don't know, David, how long you've been listening, but a few years ago when we added Diane Rehm to our schedule, we specifically asked about the afternoons and whether or not it should be Talk of the Nation or Diane Rehm or some other program. And the response from the audience in our surveys and also from our community advisory board was to go with Diane Rehm, and that's why it's there now. We realize that some folks can't call in who would want to call in, but certainly the value of the program is at least we have it in our schedule where we do at this point.
Yeah, and you know, these things, programming schedules are not cast in stone. That's the other piece that's interesting to think about is Charles mentioned earlier that everything we're listening to now was new at one time. And we respond to listeners. It's why I wanted to come on the air with Charles and ask, take your questions. We wanted to be responsive, and we made sure that everybody knew about the changes in advance. So we were there out there 3-4 weeks ahead of this to say, hey, these are coming. These may be slightly controversial, but here's what we're trying to do.
All right, David, thank you so much for your call. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us. This is Maine Calling. This week on Maine Watch, the dramatic need for counsel in Maine's civil courts. Most people involved in cases such as evictions and employment matters try to go it alone at their peril. We'll see the impact of pro bono work being done and talk with Maine Supreme Court Justice John Levy. Plus, we'll meet the man renovating an old grist mill in Freedom. He hopes to generate hydropower there. We hope you'll join us.
And you can join us for Maine Watch tonight at 8, tomorrow at 9 on MPBN television, or tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 here on MPBN Radio.
That special time is coming. The kids are on their best.
On the next Fresh Air, guitarist and singer John Pizzarelli talks about his musical family, what it was like opening for Sinatra on an international tour, and he performs holiday songs with his brother Martin on bass. Join us.
For Santa Claus is near. Here comes Santa.
Join us this evening at 7 o'clock.
Riding in his sleigh. Here comes Santa.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN Radio listener contributions and by Carlisle Academy, offering a range of equestrian services and therapies from rehabilitation to recreation in Lyman and online at CarlisleAcademyMaine.com.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks in today for Keith Shortall. And today on the program, recent changes to the MPBN radio schedule and what's ahead for public broadcasting in our state. With me in the studio, Mark Vogelzang, who is the president and CEO of MPBN, and Charles Beck, who is the director of content. We would like you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We have an email from Chris here. We don't know what town. And Chris asks, if you want to add new programs, how about doing away with one airing of Prairie Home Companion? Once is cute, twice is no fun. Why listen to the same program twice? Chris.
So Garrison airs on Saturday Night Live and then Sunday.
Saturday night at 6 and then Sunday at noon.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah,
Charles.
Very easy question for that. Contractually, to carry the program, we have to carry it live Saturday evening at 6. And for years and years and years, it's been a really strong pull and, in fact, extraordinarily strong favorite program. For many, it has since diminished a little bit, but we're still required to carry it live. Many people find the Sunday afternoon repeat more convenient, and in fact, our listenership is often higher
it
than
grows,
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So there's more listeners on Sunday
that's right.
afternoon than it is on Saturday night,
right?
Because
right.
people are busy.
Right,
makes sense, I guess. My point is about Garrison is I think he's a uniquely American. Humorist. We just saw him on Charlie Rose last night or a couple of nights ago. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He was saying that he has the best job in the world and he's not going anywhere.
We'll go back to the phones now. This is Susan in Goldsboro. Susan, you are on Maine Calling.
Hi. Yes. Actually, now that you're speaking of her young companion, I feel the same way. Once is, you know, okay, but twice is sort of too much. And if, people could stream it the next day if they missed it,
sure.
You know, and it might make space for something like Toby to be rebroadcast during that time slot, that second time slot, which many people would find appreciative. Mostly my concern is that I love the Diane Rehm show. I really do. And I'm glad to have more of her. I'm concerned about having Toby displaced off the air completely. I love all the informational shows, but I don't think that that's all MPBN should be about. And I felt, and maybe I'm wrong, I felt as though maybe when the decision was made, I don't know how, but I didn't hear very much in advance, and it felt pretty much like a done deal before people really had a chance. The public at large, a lot of people will not answer questionnaires, perhaps, that are just sent out. I don't know where, how it was done. And certainly the numbers that responded aren't truly representative of how many people are out there. And if it were broadcast well in advance and people were asked to give their opinion to a call-in phone, even with a recording, to say, gee, I really feel this, and so forth, or something along that line, that it might be might feel more accurate. It felt sort of, speaking for myself, I felt like I was steamrolled.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that's the part that really any Mainer, even though I've only lived here 30-some-odd years, I consider myself a Mainer, doesn't like that. That's why we live here.
Mark, would you like to respond to Susan?
Oh, sure. Look, it would be wonderful to give even more advance notice. I mean, we mentioned this to Toby nearly a month ahead before he was on, before the show ended, so we gave him plenty of time to think about this. And only at the very end did he warm to the idea and say to us, you know, hey, what about being an online service? But this was really, it was in response, Susan, to lots and lots of consistent requests to have more news and information. And there were people who, even though he's beloved, there were also plenty of people who didn't like the program on Friday afternoons, to be frank. And so it was a constant juggling act of trying to balance this. I don't think anybody was trying to give the impression that this was steamrolled. We wanted to do it very collaboratively. We mentioned it the week before Thanksgiving, and then during Thanksgiving, and then the week after. We gave plenty of notice on the air that it was coming. We've had over 500 complaints, comments, complaints, and to be fair, there are, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people listening on any given day, and maybe 200,000 who are listening during the course of a week. So we tried to broadcast it as widely as we could.
Yeah, and we always know that whenever there's any change in the schedule, there are some folks who are going to be unhappy. We certainly respect that, and that's probably one of the great things about public radio, how people feel that this is their radio station, and I think we all wouldn't have it any other way. But there certainly was no intent to steamroll or anything. As Mark said, we were out there. Getting over to the Prairie Home Companion repeat issue, we'll certainly look at that. We'll look at every program in our schedule. We, again, want to create the most value that we can going down the road. And, you know, you're not the first. In fact, you're the second in this program to talk about Prairie Home Companion perhaps being on once too much.
All right. Well, thank you, Susan, so much for your call. We're going to move on to Vahan from Portland. Vahan, go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm the one that still loves Oprah, and you know that I do like the classical music and stuff. And remember, W. Bosch is off the air. That was the that famous classical commercial station. And I'm thinking that too bad, as I said before, that too bad there can't be a second network on the radio of classical music, just like you had in Vermont and so forth.
Vahan, I think you make a very interesting point. I think this is a very good question for our CEO, Mark Vogelzang. Is there a possibility someday of a second station, that one station is news and public affairs and another is music?
Well, you know, it was interesting because I think this has been, we talked about this before, and Vahan, you may have even been on an earlier phone call when I was on several months ago. I'm disappointed that W. Bach is no longer on the air. We've talked about this. W. Bach had three stations, covered a large part of the coast of Maine from Kennebunkport all the way up to Bar Harbor. And we think it does represent an opportunity to perhaps offer more choices to our listeners. And a second classical channel would be phenomenal. It's not easy to do. It's not simple or expensive or inexpensive. But as a place that would offer more than just 3 hours of classical music a day, it would be wonderful if MPBN could do something like that. And we're uniquely positioned. It's certainly a trend that's happened in other markets. WGBH in Boston purchased WCRB and now operates that commercial classical station as a non-commercial public classical service. Same thing in New York City with QXR. So it's a trend that's happening around the country, and I'm disappointed that we've lost W. Bach because it is a loss. I miss it personally. I know, Charles, you could hear it too where you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it just goes back to we offer a lot of different things in our schedule, and there are a lot of folks out there, each and everybody who is different in their own views and opinions and preferences would want more of whatever they like the most.
Look,
and a second format would solve a lot of problems here.
If you're interested in listening now and would like to talk to me about a classical music network, give me a call. I mean, stay in touch with me here at MPBN. I think it's something that we would love to explore.
All right. Thank you for your call, Vahan. And we're also going to go to another classical music lover, Paul in Kennebunk. Paul, hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I just wanted to let you all know that while I guess the way to say it is I miss W. Bach. I miss the classical music that you all used to play. I know you have some now, but I'm just missing the more of it.
Yeah.
Because it is the kind of thing that settles me for my day and helps me with my work. The talk shows require me to pay some attention to them or just not listen to them at all. Please do not do away with car talk. Please do not do away with what.
Wait, don't tell me, right?
And please don't do away with Garrison Keillor. I know he's duplicated, which for me is a plus, because if I can't catch him the first time, I can catch him the second time. And I find Prairie Home Companion to be, 25, 30 years, whatever. I've been listening to these people, and they're immensely entertaining. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I miss seriously the diminishment of the classical genre.
So a vote for more classical on the air, on the radio. If we could do more of a W. Bach-type service, that would be great. But yet you also like Wait and the Saturday morning programs and the weekend programs of Garrison, et cetera, just to repeat what you've said. Is that fair?
That's correct.
All right, good. Well, thank you for calling. That's good feedback, and it's important today.
Thank you, Paul. We have an email from Peter in Sydney. He says, MPBN is losing the focus of your mission, which is the main part of MPBN. Charles, Mark?
Why don't you go ahead, Charles?
Okay, sure. We are as devoted to Maine as we could be. I mean, one of the comments that we've been hearing a lot about, with Toby not being on the air is that, we're taking part of Maine away. But perhaps what else is out there is, where we have made some inroads, and perhaps we need to speak more loudly about it and that sort of thing. I mean, Maine Things Considered, our news program in the evenings, we've added some resources there so we can grab more of the Maine stories and cover more of the Maine issues from around the state. Maine Calling is a new program. This program, in fact, that's where we are right now. And we're looking at ways that perhaps it can improve in quality and quantity and have more hours on each and every week. We certainly are aware as we go forward and more people are online listening to other stations and other places that right. Maine, our home Maine, is what's going to set us apart from other entities out there. So that's right on our radar scope.
I just quickly add, couldn't agree more, but this show is an example of our locally produced, Maine-focused programming. A year ago, this program was just beginning. It was just an idea that we'd been thinking about for a couple of years. So this space was not locally produced in any – did not have as much call-in component. We, of course, have got the very strong midday program that's been here. And you also may have seen in the Portland paper and heard on our air our plans for a Statehouse channel, which is sort of a C-SPAN type service in Augusta. That's an initiative that we've put out on our own that I think is Maine-based and Maine-focused and is going to bring free over-the-air television service of what's going on in the Statehouse. So that's an effort and a commitment that Maine we have. So maybe we're protesting too much here. I'm sorry.
we're a little sensitive.
We're going to go to another phone call, guys. Here's Ray in Beals. I love where the calls come from, by the way. I mean, really, you could draw a map of Maine, and that's one of the things that's so wonderful about this program. Ray, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. And let me say right off at the beginning here that I think Maine Calling is the best new decision you've made. That being said,
great.
I have a problem with the, I'm an Echoes fan, and I...
And when is Echoes on, for people who don't know this show?
It used to be on 11 o'clock Monday through Thursday, and then it was on 11 on the weekend. It's still on 11 on the weekend, but 11 through Monday through Thursday has been eliminated. And I find this troubling because I look forward to that program. I've been listening to it for ever since it's been on the public radio. Anyway, that's one of the things. And the other, I have a suggestion that I is maybe it's similar to some of the earlier ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad that people like me, I don't use a computer. So you didn't get any survey from me because I don't use a computer. So it has to be pencil and paper for me.
That makes
anyway,
sense.
Mm-hmm. The idea, why couldn't some of these new news-related programs be online instead of on the radio? Because, and some people have kind of suggested that. I mean, Toby's one of the programs that...
Ray, I'm going to give Charles a chance to respond to your thoughts.
Well, first let me talk about echoes. This was a decision that was made, along with the other decisions, only over time and looking at a lot of different factors here. We knew that folks were wanting more news and information. We knew that On Point was on too late at midnight and perhaps a little bit earlier. That survey, again, Ray, I'm sorry you weren't able to participate in, did clearly show that the new age music, which frankly was put in our schedule to help folks go to sleep at night, really wasn't one of the favorites. In fact, was one of the least valued programs in our entire schedule. And we surveyed 90 different programs in terms of past, present, and potential future programs as well. It really didn't come out. We also have it on the weekend with music from the Hearts of Space, that sort of thing. And Mark, maybe you want to talk about the digital aspect of his question too, in terms of,
it's tough. It's just tough to know where to do things. Digital is certainly growing fast, but the vast majority, Ray, as you noted, the vast majority of listening still takes place on the radio. The old-fashioned, traditional, legacy broadcasts of radio, FM, in our cars, in our homes, and it's very powerful. So if we want something to be on that's news that we're investing in, that's where we want to put it on.
And just put in context, too, that news and information is by far our most highly valued format that we offer of everything we offer here.
Right.
On
programming.
Yes.
Thank you for your call, Ray. We are going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
Where the recovery has stalled, a discussion of cities pulling out of the recession reminds us to recall those places still having a tough time. The economic conversation continues next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Join us for The Takeaway this evening at midnight. As you know, many businesses and organizations in and around Maine join listeners in supporting various public radio programs on the MPBN radio service. To learn how your business can benefit from supporting MPBN, either on MPBN radio or MPBN television, visit our website, mpbn.net. Click on Business Support to find information about the value of sponsorship, answers to frequently asked questions, and contact information, or call us at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. And of course, thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine. Join us at 1 o'clock immediately following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. There will be a debate on the morality of capitalism. That's the Commonwealth Club of California immediately following Maine Calling at 1 o'clock here on MPBN Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks in today for Keith Shortall, and you are listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, your chance to speak with MPBN's president and CEO, Mark Vogelsang. Also with us in the studio, Charles Beck, director of content for MPBN. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Post to our Facebook page or tweet at Maine Calling. We began this program, Charles and Mark, by talking about not only the changes made to the schedule, but the future of public broadcasting in Maine. And so briefly, I'd like to sort of turn the corner a little bit and talk about the future. Is this the beginning of even more changes?
I thought you were going to say the beginning of the end of civilization as we know it, Jennifer.
No, that's not till the 21st.
But... you know, look, we've had a lot of people concerned about the fact that there have been changes, but by and large, I think this is an opportunity for us to both hear what you're suggesting and hear some ideas for us. I think the broader issue that you talked about is what's the future for MPBN's strategic plan? Couple of things. One is clearly and without mistake that public radio listeners want more news. They want more journalism. And what the best thing we could do for our community and our state is to provide better high quality and more of the kind of journalism that we've already been doing. There's many areas that we think we could do a better job in, of we could add more resources to the mix. And we're very different now than we were 20 years ago when there were a plethora of news organizations. There are many fewer news organizations now than there were back then. Local reporting, broadcast news. So MPBN is very much more valuable. So we're going to focus on journalism as one of our core stresses in the strategic plan. The other one really, Jennifer, has to do with digital. And if we think about the smartphones and the iPads that we all hold and our computers and the availability of content on streaming, that this is just exploding. And MPBN still has not kind of put the kind of money and attention and resources and focus on digital. So that's one of the things that we're going to do. And I think the third piece of our strategic plan is the question of sustainability. We're faced with the last 2 years, we've been faced with a cutback in state funding and a very challenging tax base support. So we're having to replace the loss of tax base support here in Maine and possibly in the future from federal with local dollars, with private dollars, with foundation dollars, with individual donors. And all of those, that mix is changing. So we have to be as efficient, as smart, as good as we possibly can be to make that transition happen.
Is one of the things you're saying there, Mark, is that we can't afford to air as many unpopular shows as perhaps we could have in the past?
I don't think of it that way. Maybe that's one way to look at it. But I would say let's put programming on the air that is the programming that our listeners really value. Every second, every minute of the day is very important for the success of the organization to serve as many people as we possibly can within the broad mission that we've always had, which is here in public broadcasting at MPBN.
Charles.
When you asked the question, I wrote down three words. Value, Mark, which you just mentioned. Our content has to be extremely value. Digital, we have to be on those platforms that people expect. There needs to be choice and convenience. And the other one is Maine. We need to reflect our community and stand out amongst all the other offerings.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful – I'm new here. Charles has been here many, many years, has been with the station for a long time. And I think you've got to – I know, I could sense, I could feel, I absolutely understand the commitment to Maine and the commitment to the communities we serve. We want to do more of that.
All right. I have a nice email here from Beatty in Camden. She says, I think your call on bringing the Friday Diane Rehm show was the right one, but I wanted to say how much I enjoyed Down Memory Lane all these years, and I want to thank you and Toby for giving us this. I think a lot of people agree with Beatty, just a feeling of thankfulness for the work that Toby's done all these years.
Absolutely, and there have been pictures on Facebook. Beatty, I don't know if you're on Facebook, but also in the newspaper. And, you know, Toby, he actually showed me how to work turntables in the MPBN studio 30-some years ago.
He taught you how to do radio.
I've been in other radio, but in public radio, he showed me the ropes in public radio. And
wow.
Toby has been a real trooper through all of this, through all of these years, offering what he can do. Most recently as a volunteer, his basement is full of the records that he's collected, and he is just tickled pink to be able to continue as he is now online. And I need to tell the story. I know we're short on time here, but and I don't think I'm invading his privacy by saying Toby didn't even want to embrace email when it came around. When we announced the decision and he started getting feedback from people in Virginia, in Georgia, he started just waking up that the Internet was a real option that he might continue on. So I think this is all good.
That's terrific, Charles.
And we had a great time, a great party. We thanked him. We've appreciated him. And I'm delighted that he's going to still be on MPBN, be a part of the MPBN family.
I'm hoping to squeeze in one or two more phone calls. So we're going to go to Cindy in Pittston. Cindy, hi there.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Yes, I just moved back to Maine from North Carolina a couple of years ago. And I listen to stream WFDD down in Winston-Salem most of the time because their format during the day is all news and informational programs. And I listen to it because I want to be educated. during, that's what I see public.
So you'd
radio.
Like to see even more news and public information
yes,
programming?
Because I get a quality of news. Commonwealth Club, I will never hear those speakers anywhere else. To me, this is like a second, it's a public college for everyone.
A public college,
and,
that's interesting.
So I so appreciate that. And when I'm in my car, of course, I do have to listen to you all. And but what WFTD also does do is what you're considering. They do have a classic news, our classic music program for the people who choose not to. But I think in this day and age, such a lack of quality media, we need you educating us more and more all the time.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. We're going to go now to Lionel in Bangor. Lionel, go ahead.
Yes, I travel widely and a Maine resident as well. I know of no classical mix that's higher than we have here at Maine Public Broadcasting. I'm not sure that's representative of the wider audience. It represents perhaps our contributors and donors, but I would maintain that if we broaden out a little bit, more news in the morning at the expense of the sacrosanct classical, and leaving somebody like Toby in perhaps from 9 to 11 on a Friday, because he is news as well. We learned a lot about where Maine has been over the last 40 years in that show.
Well, it's true. In the 1970s.
We need to balance classical out with others. People have said that. Diane Rehm could then come at 11, an hour late, and her international hour could come sometime later on Friday. But to see Toby leave with a party and consigned to his basement and online doesn't make me a happy camper. We need to think of a broader picture than that.
That's fair enough, but I can tell you that as a new person here, this is a very good and very I think a satisfactory outcome. It may not be perfect for you, Lionel, but it's certainly one that people have embraced and been happy that they can still hear him online.
And Toby does not broadcast out of his basement. He comes into our studios every week.
Loves being in the studio.
Okay, then. Thank you so much for your call. We have time for one more call in about a minute. So Elaine from Surrey. Elaine, go ahead. Quickly, you're on Maine Calling.
Hi, I'll be quick. I have a comment about reception, both television and radio out here on the Blue Hill Peninsula. We lost our TV signal when you redirected the signal and the black box didn't work for us, and we can't stream because we don't get high-speed internet here. We can't afford satellite TV. We now have no TV.
We only watched
public TV, and so we're missing it sorely, and Downton Abbey starts, and we got to wait for it to come out on DVD now.
Oh, my.
I wondered if there's any plan to expand the TV signal out in our direction.
I will investigate it. Our VP for content is Gil Maxwell. I will talk to Gil about the Blue Hill Peninsula and the coverage. Digital television is a challenge, but we're going to continue to push that for you.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine. Mark, Charles, thank you for joining us today. Mark Vogelzang, the president and CEO of the Maine Broadcasting Network, Charles Beck, Director of Content for MPBN.
And you can contact information online.
And today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith. Our volunteer Cindy Hahn answered your calls. John Keimel ran the board, and we had help from the MPBN web team. Next week on the program, on Tuesday, we will take a look at gifts made here in Maine. On Wednesday, a discussion about what does it mean to be religious. And on Thursday, the best and overlooked books of 2002. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
On the next day.